Dolly to come all together over here. Help, please. Scotty Dolly. Kel Mikamot Hashem, Kel Mikamot Sophia. Hashem is a God of vengeance. Hashem, or the God of vengeance, appeared. And that's what it refers to over here. Now, this Kel Mikamot Hashem is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. The first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. But not only it being destroyed, but Hashem is going to take vengeance against those enemies that actually destroyed it. That's what's going to be the double lashon over here of Nekamos, Nekamos, and what's going to happen. Some say that the rivers of blood that will happen in the future from all the crazy things that are happening, I don't know what that means exactly. Regardless, this is a reference to all the enemies of the Jews being destroyed. Get up, right? The judge of the land. Hashid Gmul Gain. Return the Gmul, repay in kind on all those people who are absolutely arrogant. Now, we say this Mizmor on Wednesday for the Yom. The reason why Wednesday is because the sun, moon, and stars were created on that day. And unfortunately, many people abuse the sun, moon, and stars and worship them instead as Avodah Zarah. And because they worship them as Avodah Zarah and they took them as idols when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them just for the usage, whatever it is, so to speak, this is the day that we refer to the vengeance of God against those who worship those things that Hashem created.
And everybody knows it's Wednesday's Yom because it's the longest.
Oh, by far the longest. Yeah. No, it's the worst when you have Wednesday's Yom with Borchi Nafshi and the Devar Hashem Ori. It doesn't get much worse than that. Yeah, that is horrible. Ad Masai, it's almost like a Monday, Thursday when there's the Hab and you don't realize.
Thursday's probably longer than Wednesday.
It's true, but it doesn't matter. It's like you...
The end?
Yeah.
You just want to get out of there.
I do hear that. No, but the Hab, when there's a Hab and you don't realize it and you're going to the show, all of a sudden, like tomorrow morning, if you don't realize it, you go in there and all of a sudden they're like,
I'm not too worried.
And you're like, no,
or Monday morning.
There we go.
I had to go somewhere else.
So I'm
like, I walk in, I'm like, where is everybody?
And they come in here, I'm like, oh, thank you. How long will the wicked prosper? How long will they exult? How long will they be so happy? They speak out loud. They talk insolence. All of those who do sins, they pride themselves. They say, like, oh, look at what we did, etc. Right, they go around, yeah.
Is it the police? Are all they're doing sins, or everybody?
Mm-mm. It's the enemies of the Jews. All of this is a reference right now to the enemies of the Jews.
Who cares if they're doing sins?
No, but they're looking at it, and they're like, look how they're crushing the Jews, knocking out the Jews, etc. And therefore, and even though they're exulting, they're happy, and whatever it is, we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take your vengeance. I'm crushing Yidaku, they crush your people, Hashem. Menachu also Ya'anu, and your inheritance is afflicted. Alman v'ger Yarogu, they kill widows and sojourners. They murder the orphans as well. They say to themselves, God doesn't really see it. The God of Jacob, he doesn't understand. He doesn't really pay attention to what's going on. Understand, you fools among people, Uksilim, and all you terrible people. When will you be wise and enlightened? Yeah, Uksilim. What's a boar? Boar is a boor, right? A boor, whatever you want to call it.
When will you become enlightened?
Yeah, that's the idea. So what is it going to be over here? In other words, I think what it means is, look well, we're saying to all the people of the world. We're saying, you really think that there's no God? Come on. Pay attention for a little bit. Do you really think that that's there? Do you not see the intelligence that's made in the world, or the hashkafa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in the world? Pay attention. If he puts an ear, do you not think he hears it? If he forms the eye, halo yabit, doesn't he look? I guess this is really referring to not the atheists, but those people who feel that God created the world and then stepped back and let everything run on its own. It says to them, like, well, do you really think he's not listening and he's not seeing, creating the eye and the ear? So there's, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeing and hearing in some way everything that's going on in the world. How could that be?
How is that different than atheists? It's a, somebody believes,
he believes
God.
There is a God, but God just doesn't care. He steps back and allows nature to rule the world, nothing else. He doesn't need to get involved whatsoever.
The theory is that not believing in God?
That is, he believes in God.
No,
but God is not doing
it. He's
still there. He just doesn't care.
Yeah, and when he needs to step in, he'll step in.
Big picture.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He'll step in when he needs to. Hayoser goyim alo yochiyah. He gives muster to the nations. Don't you think he'll rebuke you? He teaches man knowledge. He does what he needs to do when it comes to this. Right? He gives muster to all those. Look at what happened to the main Mabel, to the flood, what happened to the Tower of Babel. Look what happened to the inhabitants of Sodom, right? Sodom was probably the biggest one.
What happened?
No,
I say
it's like, no, but it's like,
if it's not right.
Brother Lairfield spoke this morning. Said one of the best things out there. First of all, it makes sense. If you have so many people saying to everybody else, and you're saying, you guys are a bunch of idiots, we're the smart ones, we know what to do, etc., eventually, the ones who are called stupid are going to step up and say, all right, we'll do what we want. Eventually, it was going to happen. You have so many people calling them idiots, whatever. So that's what Roy Lairfield said. It's amazing. You have mamish the definition of a boor in the Gemara. A boor is somebody, boorish, I know, but boor is mamish an idiot. An idiot. That's what it is. He said, Ms. Clinton is not any better. She's a sheikha. But at least you have a boor. And a boor is a son. He said, without a question, this has to be one of the last signs that we have for Mashiach. He said, Yisrael speaks about, he talks about Yirmiyah. He brought in a pasuk from Yirmiyah and the Haftorah of Parshas Bahar. He said, it could be this is what it's referring to, but to say that you have a nation, the most powerful nation in the world, a kibbutz goyim, because that's what America is, being run by a person who's this dumb, how is it possible? How is it shayach for such a thing to happen? He said, okay, whatever. He called it that, but like that's such a colloquial term, you know?
It comes on a little seriously. That was the time to come.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to wait for anything anymore. Hashem yodea machshavos adam ki mahado. God knows the thoughts of people. They're futile. They get nothing out of it, right? There's nothing left. Ashrei gever shekatzmenu kol. Happy is a person who God gives mussar to. Mitoras lo salam adenu. And you teach him from your Torah. You give him from your Torah. And you allow him to study as much as he can. Right? That's that. And that's really the line also is not just Torah. It's shekatzmenu kol. Happy is a person who gets yisurin and knows that they're yisurin from Hashem for something that he did. A person who accepts his yisurin with love, understands that his yisurin are things that he can grow from. That's happy is a person that gets it. Otherwise, unfortunately, your suffering is just going to turn you off a little bit. To let him rest from the days of evil, until the pit is dug for the wicked to be destroyed. The tzaddik will be saved. Hashem will not cast off his nation. He won't forsake the rest of his inheritance. For eventually, the mishpat will return to become tzaddik. The akrav ko yishrei lev, and all of the upright, the yishrei lev, will be able to follow it. And I think that's referring to the people that are yisharim. Simply people. Simply put, people that are yasher in what they're doing, they're going to follow what's going to happen over here. And that's the concept. Now, the idea is HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the thoughts of man. That what we're trying to do over here, I think the line that we're trying to say, right, of Ashrei HaGever to Rasos, oh, Hashem Yodea Machshavos Adam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all of them over there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what everyone is thinking, what everyone's doing. So don't think that you can try to get out of it. Miyakum Miyamareim. Who's going to rise up for me against the evildoers? Me is Hatsiv Liam Poli up, and who's going to stand with me against the doers of evil? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm willing to go up against them. But are you willing to stand up for them? Moshe Rabbeinu said it to the people. Mila Hashem Milai. An amazing line that Rav Schwab said when he went to the Chafetz Chaim. First met the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim asked him, are you a Kohen? He said, no. He said, are you a Levi? Rav Schwab said, no. He said, do you know why? Oh, he said, and I'm a Kohen. He said, I'm a Kohen. Did you know that I'm a Kohen? I didn't know the Chafetz Chaim was a Kohen. So he said, do you know why? Rav Schwab didn't know what to say. He said, because when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke up to the people and said, Mila Hashem Milai, who's with me against the evildoers? My parents said, yeah. And your parents said, no. And that's why I'm a Kohen and you're not. It was a brilliant line. The pshat is that you make decisions that affect all of your children for all time. That affects everybody. What you make, what you decide, that's that. And that's the concept. He says, who's going to stand up for me? Are you willing to stand up for me? Don't just, you know, just say it. Are you really going to do it? Luli Hashem is Rasali. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu being my help, Kimat Shachna Du Manavshi, it would be like my soul was rested, as if it would be silent, as if I wouldn't be able to do anything in this world. I'd soon be in my grave. If I say my foot slipped, Chastik Hashem Yisadeni, your Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu held me up and supported me and made sure that I had everything I need. Baruch Sarapai Vikabi. Now, Sarapai, I don't know what that word really means. He translates here as my cares. I don't know what that word means. Sarapai, what do you have?
My what? Forebodings?
Multitudes. No, it can't be multitudes.
When my forebodings were abundant within me, your thought was cheer to my soul.
Yeah, the other one. Temple, your comforts, Yishashu, actually make me happy.
Inyan Mashava.
Whatever that means. I don't know what that means exactly.
Would it be worried?
It's referring to a person. When I have problems within me, you comfort me. You make me happy with everything that I need, everything that I have over here. Maybe it's referring to us in Golas and what's happening over here, that we're consoled by everything that we have and everything that we need, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us the entire entire time. I don't know. It's strange. Absolutely strange. But I'm taken care of in that way. In a way, they learned from this pasuk, and I forgot what the limud was, that Chazal say that Moshe died in the Midbar to bring the Dora Midbar to Olam Haba, and eventually the Tchias HaMeisim. Now, without him, they wouldn't have learned that. Yeah, I don't even remember why. I don't remember what the drush was, and I can't remember offhand. I thought, like, I underlined it, and I was like, yeah, just think about it. I don't remember why it would be so, that there's something there. I remember the Medrash Rabbah. It's a Medrash Rabbah that says that Moshe Rabbeinu will lead the Dora Midbar into Tchias HaMeisim. That I remember. But that he died specifically to bring them to Olam Haba, that I don't remember. I don't know how it comes to the cross itself. I'm sorry?
No.
Yeah, in Echanami, and also because of the... There are four reasons given as to why Moshe Rabbeinu passed away early and didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. Right? It started early enough when he said, no, I don't want to go, send somebody else. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I will send somebody else to Eretz Yisrael. Right? But you are going to take them out of Mitzrayim. So even from then, he was already...
Well,
there was a decree
by
that's going to be there. At the very, very beginning. Well, it was
take,
for Aaron
take
to
that
bone help you.
Also? Where he
yes.
Said, he said, choose Aaron, not me?
No, the second time.
Shalach
no b'yad tishlach. Right? That's what it ended up being. And by the way, Hayakobrocha kisiagos. Can there be a throne, a seat of malice that is connected to you? Yotzer alma aleichok, right? To make mischief, right? Upon the laws that you make. Is there some way that there could be some type of destruction? Your throne is filled with emes. You do things that are absolutely right. Is it just arbitrary that these things happen? There's no way. Yagodu al nafsadik, they gather together. The word yagodu comes to the word losis gojudu, right? That you can't have agudos. Well, yagodu al nefesh sadik. They gather together on the nefesh of the tzaddik against the soul of the righteous. Gam not yarshiu. They condemn innocent blood. That could be the UN. Vayi Hashem lilim iskav. But nonetheless, Hashem became my tower, my fortress. Melokai l'tzor machzi. He became my rock that saved me whenever I need him. God will return to them all of their sins. Over Rasam Yatsmi Same, in their evil he will destroy them. The word of some mace. Yatsmi Same Hashem Alakinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will absolutely destroy them in everything they do. The exploitation, so to speak, what Onum means when it comes to this over there. Nope, that's that. Now, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Shabbos at the conclusion of Shemitah. Right? That took place during the second day of the second watch of Yehoyariz. The Levium were standing on the platforms and they were saying these lines, Verosam Yatsmi Same Hashem Elokeinu. At that moment, the enemy seized them. If they would have succeeded in finishing the Tehillim, the Medrash says, the Goyim would not have been able to take over the Beis HaMikdash had they finished off the prayer, whatever that means. We see this all the time. Like, if only other Marishim would have waited until Shabbos to eat from the Eitz Hadas. If only Bnei Yisrael would have waited 6 more hours to see what happened with Moshe. And we see that concept all the time. It applies over here as well. Right, Abadi, right, what would be?
It happened at the end of the 7th year?
At the end of the Shemitah year, correct. Now, I remember reading somewhere that it also happened at the end of the Yovel. It was the end of the Yovel, right, at the end of that. But, you know, it could very well be. Remember, the year that it was destroyed was 3338. Difficult to say how Yovel could have been that year because usually it goes by 50s, but who knows? We have no idea when it really started. If we say that, maybe 2488, but who knows? Yeah, we have no idea. Okay. Now, obviously, the next four Tehillim from 95 to 99 are all going to be Kabbalah Shabbos, right? These are going to be the four, first four. The reason why is because all four of them basically deal with the Amos HaMashiach. Some say that it refers to the Kibbutz Galias. I'm sorry?
You do Mizmor Lesoda also?
I didn't know that.
One reached in a week.
Six. No, but you don't do Mizmor Lesoda, you do Mizmor Ledavid.
No, we do Mizmor Lesoda, and then Mizmor Ledavid is like the 7th.
No way. I didn't know that. That's so interesting. Because we do 6, we include Mizmor Ledavid, and then Mizmor Shirley on Shabbos is the very end.
Mizmor Ledavid is only the
Sitzar. Mizmor Ledavid is what?
It's only Sitzar.
Mizmor Ledavid. What do you mean, Mizmor Ledavid? No, hold on. You do these 5, right? And then you do Mizmor Ledavid, right? And then you do Anu B'Koach, then Kabbalah Shabbos, and then Mizmor Shir Lema Shabbos, and then Hashem Malach Yisovej.
What about the Anu S'chor, the one in between, before you...
That's different. You're not
but you guys had a Mizmor Lesoda.
What are they talking about?
Right. Is a
during the week?
And then
you're talking about Shabbos.
That's so funny.
Some do it after.
Thank you. I am.
I know what you're talking about. It's a different
Mizmor.
Yeah, that's earlier in the the book. Much earlier.
What's he talking about?
Hashem with Lo-Roya. Hashem Roya.
Oh, that's all the way into the end of Marit. That's not Shai to Kabbalah Shabbos. All right, so here's what happened. Now, it's made by Ramosha Corvadero. Ramosha Corvadero is the one that added on these. The what?
Cordovero.
That's how you pronounce it? Oh, you're right. Yeah. That's funny. But the Ramak, he was the brother-in-law of Rishon Alkavitz, which was the author of Lecha Dodi. He's the one that put them all together. And it's funny because...
What are these? It's not that hard to...
No, but why these over those? And the reason why he did it is because he must be Mishnah. That's why Mishnah Lecha Dodi is weird, because it doesn't have any Shaykhus to the five. But let's see how it goes. Maybe there's something I'm totally missing here. But this is supposed to be like uplifting our spirits. Yeah, things get bad, right? But don't worry, the exile is not going to be for that long, and we're going to come out. So, l'chun niranina, come, let us sing Lashem. Noria, we will sound the horn, l'tzuri yishenu, to the rock of our salvation, that everything is going to work out well, and it's going to be the days of Mashiach. Yeah, what's
up? Who did we say wrote this?
Not wrote this, it's Dovin HaMelech. Moshe Rabbeinu is the original author of these 11 Tehillim. So Dovin put it together in some way, shape, or form. Right, and that's that. Now, we're going to see, it's going to be interesting. This is sort of like an introduction with Lechun Ra'anan. 96 and 97 is really going to speak about the natural order of things, and 98 and 99 are miraculous things, how things happen in the Nisim world. And we're going to see some differences, nuances of the difference that go around here. Now, there's something else we have to say over here. It's not that we're rejoicing at the downfall of our enemies, like the Malachim wanted to do at the end of Kriyas Yamsuf, and that Hashem told them, why would you do such a thing? Right? I don't want somebody to suffer on this behalf. We're rejoicing about what? Mitzuri Yishen, the rock that saved us. We're happy that we got saved. That's the line.
Yeah. So it was Moshe Cordovero who instituted saying this before Shabbos?
Put them together in Kabbalah Shabbos, yeah.
There's also other Minhagim. I know the Minhag Yerushalayim is not the same at all. Sorry, it's more of David.
Meaning not... not the Sephardim.
Oh, Sephardim. It's more of the David.
That's interesting.
And then there's...
They
also do an abbreviated version of Lechadodi. It's really great.
What's the awesome thing in the world?
The minhag in the minhag in Lavel, yeah, start from Sadi Pat and Kuf and then go into
and just do those two.
Just skip cool shots.
It's really interesting how that comes in.
Like,
I wonder who brought in. I wonder if Kuf was originally made, but why would Ashkenazim have taken it out? That would be weird that they would have taken out one.
It's like the shortest one.
Like, no, but why? Yeah, seriously. No, it doesn't sound like they took it out. It sounds like that was added on later. It would be weird to take it out if you have all six of them. Why would you take it out? That's what I find weird. And also, remember, Mishmor LeDavid is being included as the sixth one. That was prior. Anyway, the Medrash says that this is all referring to Yisachar and the glory of being able to study Torah all day long. What happens when a person goes that he sings the song to the Lord of davening and learning all day long. We greet God's face together with a thanksgiving offering. Bizmirois, together with psalms or songs, right? Naria lo. We say it out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're going in front of him with the thanksgiving offering because we're out of prison. The 6 days of the week when we're working or sitting, we have to do everything we have to do. Right? That's annoying. It's just an annoying thing. Like, oh man, we have to go. It's like we're in prison. We're finally let out. This should be our Shabbos song that allows us to sing for what we have. Rina is the song that we do publicly and going in that idea. He killed Gadol Hashem because God is a great God. Umelech Gadol Alkolohim. The great king over all the other, let's call them, powers of nature and everything like that. In charge of everything and making sure that he's the one in charge. Obviously, this could be a line that Ovdei Avodah Zarah could say, see, he's a Melech Gadol Alkolohim. There are other gods and he's the great king over them. But that's so. Asher B'yadom Mech Korei Aretz. In his hand are the deep summits of the earth. The Soafos Harim Lo. Deep summits, I didn't mean it that way. The deep places of the earth. And Soafos Harim Lo. And the summits of the mountains all belong to him as well. Meaning, one would say, as we said before, that God doesn't pay attention or whatever. Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. From the depths of the sea, from the Mariana Trench, all the way up to the heights of the Himalayas. Right from there to there, from the lowest to the top, Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge in everything that is. The other line that's like the Soafos Re'im Lo. There's like a power to it when it comes to this. And that's what mountains are in that way. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if you wanted to, could break down the mountains. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if you wanted to, could bring up the depths of the sea. It doesn't have to be that way as well. Some translations specifically the word Tuafos as shining. And what it means by the shining mountains, I'm not sure. I think it just means the way it shines in the morning, the way the sun beats against it in the morning, maybe something like that. Regardless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything in the world. Asher lo hayam mehu aso. The sea is his, the whole ocean is his, and he, God, made it. Yabeshes yodav yatzaru. And the dry land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed everything that's in the dry land and made sure that everything is there. Bo nishtakavet v'nichra'ah. Come, let us bow down and kneel before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nivrucha l'bnei Hashem Oseinu. And move our knees down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our God over here.
Bo nishtakavet v'nichra'ah. Usually you kneel before you bow.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It must be that when we say bow down over here, the prostrate ourselves, even though, right, it says to prostrate with outstretched line and arms and legs, the nichra is weird, because nichra is sort of like bowing down, the bowing motion that we do from the knee itself. Maybe it's that you started off all the way down, but even when you get up, you still bow yourself to the Creator. But it is weird, because v'anachnu korim v'mishachavim, and that's clear, the way that it should be is the opposite way. Maybe it's the way of getting up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nivrucha is also weird, getting on the knees. I'm not so sure I totally understand the difference between kriya and bericha. I don't know if I fully get that. I always learn that kriya is on the knees with your back straight up. Yishtachaviyah is the outstretched arms all the way down on the ground. But then what's bericha, which is on the knees itself? That sounds like kriya to me. I thought that that's the same thing as kriya.
No, I mean, korim, we don't bow thing. We don't use our knees.
I don't get what you're saying.
Maybe nivrucha could just be on your knees. And
Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we do, by Aleinu. We do use our knees. We get down by korim.
You do by Aleinu?
By Aleinu, yeah. By Aleinu korim. Not in our regular silent Shemoneh, right? But in the Chazor HaShatz. By Aleinu korim, Mishachavim.
Yavodah,
we also do on Yom Kippur, right? You bow down four times and they do the korim, right? When they say the same thing. Right.
We do.
Then we go down to that.
Four times?
Four times or three times?
Four.
So three? We do four times. It might be three by us.
No.
Right, because there's only three Vidus. There's only three Vidus.
Which is the four three Vidus, and then the there's the fourth one.
We go down for Aleinu. That's our fourth.
In the part where he announces Lashem, the Lazazel, when he says Lashem, we bow.
Oh, so that's interesting. We don't do that.
Vidus.
Yeah, we don't do that. But we have the three Vidus, and we have Aleinu. So that's how they go through, right? And they go through. I wonder if there's a reason why they have to do four. I wonder if that's a pshat, and that's why you came up four that way and we came up four this way. I don't know if there's a pshat for that. You don't do it in Rosh Hashanah at all. The question is why we do it, but Aleinu is the big thing on Rosh Hashanah. Either way, but that's what we do, so what's the difference between that? I don't know. Some say the word nivracha is related to the word havracha. Havracha is when you take a plant, right, and you bend it to replant it in the ground, and when it starts to grow, that's when you cut the branch, right, and you allow it to grow in that way. So to speak, we're rooting ourselves in front of God, rerooting ourselves, allowing ourselves to be in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea behind it over here. Now, we daven three times a day, representing Nishtachavet, Nichra, the Nivrucha, L'Bnei Hashem Oseinu. That we daven three times a day that we learn from over here. Regardless, it's like this over here. Fine. New. Kiyu Elokeinu V'Anachnu Amariso, because He is our God, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, and we are the people of His pasture, that great Grezu, but Son Yado, we're the sheep of His hand, Hayom, in the Kol Sishmo. Today, if we listen to His voice, that's the way it would be, and we would be saved today if not for that. Now the line of Anachma Amri of its own, it's interesting. We will only get the inheritance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we act humbly like sheep. If we act like sheep in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and really bring ourselves to that He is our leader, etc., then everything's all there. Now Hayom Bikol Shmo, now we get into the famous Gemara, right? That Gemara, which is one of my favorites, when it says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi found Eliyahu HaNavi is standing outside of the cave of Shem Bar Yochai. So he said to him, when will Mashiach come? Right? When will Mashiach be here? He said, Eliyahu said, go ask him himself. He said, where is he located? Where is Mashiach? He said, if you go to the gates of Rome, you'll be able to find him, together with all the other poor people who are changing their bandages and their wounds at the gates. He said, how am I going to tell that he's Mashiach over everybody else? He said, everybody else, they take off all of their bandages at once, and then they rebandage themselves all at once, because it's too painful to do one at a time. But Mashiach is always worried that he's going to be called at that moment. Because he could be called at that moment, he takes off one bandage, cleans the wound, and then rebandages himself. Then takes off another wound, a bandage, re-cleans the wound, whatever it is, and he does it that way. So that's how you'll know that he's going to be there. Whatever that means, it's strange that he has all the wounds for Klal Yisrael, sort of like taking over. over our queen, our tsar. But the Shmuel Levi went to him and found him, and he said, Shalom Alecha, Rebbe Umori, right? To which Mashiach said back, Shalom Alecha, Ben Levi. That's what he told him. He said, Shalom Alecha, Ben Levi. He said, Masai Yavo Mar, when will Mar come? That's what he said to him. He said, Hayom. Said today. So Rabbi Shulchan Levi went back to Eliyahu Navi and he said to him, what did he say to you? He said, Shalom Alecha Levi, Ben Levi. He said, so he promised that you and your father will have a chelek in Olam Haba. That Rabbi Yeshua and Levi will both have a chelek in Olam Haba. What's interesting is that Levi was not allowed in Olam Haba when he first went up there, because he didn't go into the yeshiva when Rabbi Apis became Rosh Yeshiva, so he wasn't allowed in the yeshiva Shalmaila until somebody else allowed him to go in. Once he heard that Levi was on the outside, that's when somebody else got in. I forgot who it was. I think it was Shmuel who adopted for him to go in. But either way, regardless, he promised that both of you are going to be there. And then he said to him, he said, but he lied to you. He told me he was going to come today, and he didn't come. Right? So Eliyahu Navi said, he said, this is what he's telling you. Hayom in the Kol Sishmo. Yes, he can come today if you listen to his voice. And that's the concept. And that's the idea of Im, the Kol Sishmo. Im is Eliyahu Mashiach. And that's that. Lots of questions in this Gemara. An unbelievable question. Why wouldn't he just guess Eliyahu? Eliyahu comes the day before Mashiach. So what's the problem? You're speaking to Elio. Masai Yavo Elio, when are you coming, Elio and Avi? And that way we'll know when Mashiach is
coming. Well, he's already there. He's talking to him.
So why not ask him? Say to him, when are you coming? When are you coming to the world? And when are you leading before Mashiach? You don't have to ask Mashiach that question. You just ask Elio. There's a Rebbe Kiva Eger.
I'm not joking.
Why ask Mashiach? You ask Mashiach, right?
Mashiach.
No,
Mashiach got to give the one to tell Elio, hey, tomorrow's the day.
So that's an easy answer. That is an easy answer. The easy answer is... No, it's an easy answer. Yeah. Then Elio doesn't know. Because me, I don't like that answer. I think Elio does know.
Not that Elio doesn't know, but he needs to get the order.
I understand, but he knows when he can come. He knows when the end date is. So there's another answer. Rabbi Kiva Eger asked questions by Elio and Avi.
I knew that he wasn't going to get that answer.
I know, but Rabbi Kiva Eger says the greatest thing about Elio and Avi. There are two Elio and Avis. There's Elio and Avi in the Malachi form. There's Elio and Avi in Goof form. And he says it makes a lot of sense. Everybody says Teku means Tishvi Atarz Kushiz Vibayis, right? And Elio and Avi is going to answer all of our questions. Right. Elio and Avi was in the base medrash by most of these Tanaim and Amoraim when they were saying Teku. So what does that mean? He's right there. So why don't I ask them?
A few of them.
15 appearances between Tanaim and Amoraim and Elio and Avi.
Right.
That's awesome.
When the Avi then coincide with a Teku.
I would assume many of them. Yeah, I would assume many of them, especially
yeah,
if my name
is on
the show. How many takers are there?
What they couldn't have asked them? 100.
Right, so even if it's there for all 15.
Yeah, but it could be at one time. And it's all throughout the generation where Eliyahu Navi appears. We're not talking about like one generation. He's all over them. He was by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi.
Oh, meaning when he came along, he should have
answered. Yeah, he should have answered everything. So everything should have been answered right then. But the answer is, there's a difference between Malachi Eliyahu Navi and Guf Eliyahu Navi. Malachi Eliyahu Navi, who was by all the time in Amorim, he was an angelic figure. He wasn't a physical figure. And that sense, Lo Bashamayim, you couldn't ask him those questions. But the Guf Eliyahu Navi, that's different, that you could ask. So this Eliyahu Navi was Malachi Eliyahu Navi.
Not like an angel?
Not an angel. What they call it from the Ramban at the end of Parsha Vayechi is Levush Hashani, or Levush Hasheni, depending on how you look at it. But whatever it is, there was a form. But not that, but that, yeah.
No,
not like a beggar in the street with like whatever it is. Not like that, you know? No, like a real Eliyahu Navi. Like they knew that was Eliyahu Navi. The Malachi Brit.
Literally Mashiach was sitting by the gates of Rome.
No.
It's coming to teach us something.
So the Maral says that. The Maral goes into what this means. In Sanhedrin, the Maral goes into what exactly this means, etc. The ideas behind it and whatever it is. The Marsha, The Marsha says something totally different.
Sorry,
he takes this Pashup shot. He understands that there's a Mashiach in every generation. There is a person who is the Mashiach in every generation. Remember, Mashiach is only named that way. It's only named that way because in the Gemara, right there on Tzadi Chesem Abayz in Sanhedrin, it says there are four people get up and say, here's the name of Mashiach. One guy says it's Menachem ben Chizkiah. Another guy gets up and says it was Shiloh. Another guy gets up and says it's Ninon. Another guy got up and said it was Nechemiah.
Whoa, there. Calm yourself.
Menachem, Shiloh, Ninon, and Chizkiah. Those are the four names mentioned by the Gemara.
I remember hearing somebody mention
Nechemiah was a Mashiach because he stayed in the tents of Ezra.
Sheila. I don't remember that. But that's why. Think about it. Menachem,
Shiloh, Yinon,
Chizkia is Mashiach. That's where the name comes from.
But Mashiach was an anointed one.
Without a question, right? Without a question. But that's where the name comes from. The name stems from there. The Marshal mentions that. I was like, no way. I never knew that before. But that's where it all comes from. So that name is there. So did it really happen? It really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saw something. And the lesson to be learned over here is that obviously there's a time for Mashiach to come. And there's Hayom in the Kol Yisrael, if you listen to his voice. I'll talk to you about something Meriva. Don't harden your hearts like you did by May Meriva. Honestly, I don't know what that means. Hardening your hearts at Meriva? How did they harden their hearts at Meriva? What does that even mean? Meriva is when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. What's the reference to their hardening their hearts at Meriva?
They're complaining that led up to it?
I guess so. I don't know why that's hardening their hearts. Hardening their hearts, the way I think of it, is Paro. No, I will not let you go.
No, but it could be stubborn.
That's weird also. What stubbornness was there by Meriva? What were they stubborn
about? Rejection, so to speak, of God's
miracles,
yeah.
Expectations, or whatever. I wouldn't call that heart. If I would describe that, I'd call it stubborn.
Obstinance,
I'd call it. Actual of outcome is weird. That's a weird word. And then Kiyom Masa Bamibor, like in Masa. Now, I understand hardening the heart at Masa. Masa was a little bit different because they were complaining about all the things they did, all the complaints. So I get that a little bit. At Meriva, the worst they did was they wanted water. I hear that. They were thirsty. I don't know. I guess both of them deal with that sort of thing. It's weird. I tested your fathers, or your fathers tested me. They tried me, and they saw my work as well. And that's what makes it even worse. They knew what I could do, and yet still they challenged me. They thought I wouldn't be able to do what I was able to do. It's unbelievable that such a thing could happen. For 40 years, I argued with that generation. And I said, they're a messed up people. And they don't know my ways whatsoever. I can't believe that they don't trust me the way that they should. After all these years, how can they not trust me? And I swore in my anger, they will never come to see my rest that I'll give to in Eretz Yisrael itself. And in other words, he says an unbelievable line. I've never heard this before in my life. And the Amalek says, it was for their own good that the Dor HaMidbar died in the desert, because if they would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, they would have died in the first war in Jericho when they got to Eretz Yisrael. Everybody there, because they were not worthy of keeping in the land. Unbelievable line.
They die at one point or another.
I guess it's a bigger Chilul Hashem if in the wars in Eretz Yisrael they all die. It's a better Kiddush Hashem that they die by the word of God throughout the Midbar. I guess. I don't know what that is exactly. No long, you know, originally with the Eagle Azov, they always blame the Erev Rav for everything that was going on. Said the Erev Rav did this, the Erev Rav did that. Well, this, by May Meriva, there were no more Erev Rav around. And if they were, maybe they were around or whatever it is, they no longer could blame the Erev Rav for it. And yet, still, they did this, these things wrong back there.
Yeah, but it's, the people who complained about Meriva, they weren't the people who were sworn against Yimivono Menuchati. They all died.
And so it must be that there was still that complaint within. There's something still wrong with them that they had. It was almost like in there. Yeah, the culture that was there.
The people who you're just talking about, though, I guess
because
not with the door,
yeah, there's Masa as well. There's Masa as well. So maybe Masa is the one that we're concentrating on when it says that, right? The fathers are like that.
I wanted a really good question and a really good answer, and I forgot the answer, but I remember the question.
Yeah.
We just finished a very bad thing.
Yeah.
In my anger, I swore they will not come. Then they're supposed to shir l'Hashem shir chadash.
Uh-huh. Yeah, give me a second and then I'm going to answer that question. But I have a question that's very similar to that question. Kabbalah Shabbos, the niggun that we sing in Ashkenazic souls is it's like a sing-song thing. Can you imagine saying that? That I swore in my anger, you will never see my inheritance. Like, what does that mean? What are you singing about? Why are you so happy? It makes no sense. Now, Karl Bach, it makes a little bit of sense. It's like a sadder type of whatever. That makes a little bit more sense. I get that a little bit. So what's Chad? What does that mean exactly? So somehow, it could be this reference to the Simchat that we have, that they got the punishment they deserved, and now they're going to Olam Haba. Although there is an opinion in the Gemara that says they didn't get a Chiluk in Olam Haba. But it means like they got what they needed, and they're going to, and that judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand. And that's something we understand only lost at level in the Amos of Mashiach, which is whole Mizmor is about. When Mashiach comes, they'll
will show us this was a good thing for them. And that we'll understand. That's one thing. But now we get into Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash. In Sadi Vogue, Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash, sing to God a brand new song. Shiru Lashem Kalar. Everybody on earth, everybody get together and sing this old something that's going to be, right? All the earth is going to sing to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, because last level we're all going to get together and everybody's going to be there.
They won't go into Israel. You fulfill that. You also fulfill the promise. The next one that will bring
over the Tchias Amesim. It's not even that. It's the Tchias Amesim of those people. That they're the people.
Or Shiru Lashem Kiv.
It's rejected because Rabbi Yudim Bava. It's Rabbi Akiva that says that. And it says Rabbi Akiva, Ayei Chassidus Seich. Where's your Chassidus? And Rabbi Yudim Bava says that they do have a Chelik and Olam.
It's
a Mishnah. They don't. And right there is where the Tana argues and says, no, they do have a Chelik and Olam.
Right. That's that.
There's six of them that are mentioned in that Mishnah, right?
Dora, Mishor, six. Oh, no, that's not
yeah, it goes on. So that's the one over there. But that's the idea of what it goes through, and it's really like this. They're going to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Shir Chadash. No longer is it going to be Uz Yashir, their original song. It's going to be a brand new song that they're going to sing. They are going to sing. Those great men are going to sing. They're going to sing to him HaKadosh Baruch Hu along with the entire land that goes through. It's going to be a brand new song, and it's going to be awesome. Now, originally, the Shira is normally sung as a feminine form. It's a lower form of a shira. Now it's going to be a shir, a masculine form. We all know men are better than women, right? We learned that from this election. And therefore, because of that, it's going to be a masculine type of a song that's even greater than that. They all know how I feel.
Great, so what's the answer to his question?
Well, that's the idea. The idea is that we start off, we end off with such a downer of like, I swore they're never going to come into my menucha, right? They won't come into there. And then they get Tchias Amesim because they weren't supposed to get there in their lives. They get up and they sing the praises of the Lord, maybe more than everybody else, because they saw what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu got there. Shiru Lashem Kol Ha'aretz is the Lord of Seichel, of Shiru Lahashem Kol Ha'aretz. Shiru Lashem Kol is Seichel. The amount of Seichel that's used, the intelligence, that the earth will be filled with intelligence at that time, Seichel that's going to go throughout the whole land. Look at Pasuk Beis, Shiru Lashem Baruch Hu Shemo, sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bless his name, Basru Miyom Liyom Mishuasu, tell over the news every day of his salvation. This is what it's going to be. Every single day there are unbelievable yeshuas that happen to every person. If you would only write it down, writing down what happens to you at some point during the day, and sometimes you don't remember it, even at the end of the day what happened to you earlier. If you would just write it down and say, this is what happened over here, this is what I did, it would be amazing. It would be absolutely amazing. That's what we're asking for. We're saying, possibly only Yeshua. So tell over his salvation in every which way. Stop about going klodo. Tell over among the nations of the honor that God has. The kolo amin nifla usab. His wonders and his great things that he does among all the nations of the world. In other words, they were not, even though they went out to bubble, whatever it is, and everything that happened over there, we came back. Even though we went to Gullus Maldai, Paras Maldai, and even if it was in Eretz Yisrael, whatever it was, Gullus Paras Maldai was probably still in bubble a little bit, right? It would be like that. Still, we got it. God is great, very, very praiseworthy. Awesome to be feared above anything else in the world. Because all the gods of the other nations of the world are alilim. They're mere idols, nothingness, full of godlessness. Hashem Shemayim Asah. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the heavens and the angels and everything in it. Hod Ba'adur Lefanav. The beauty and the greatness. I don't know how you really want to translate Hod Ba'adur. Lots of different things. Hod really is majesty. Hadur is beauty. I don't know how you want to do it. Regardless, Lefanav. The Malach and everything, those are the beauty in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oz Visiferes. There is strength, and Tiferes is splendor, if that could be translated that way. Tiferes is more of a combination.
Glory and majesty.
Yeah, let's call something like glory and majesty is what?
Before that,
so I have two.
Yeah.
Splendor.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. To make the show, I have over here majesty, splendor, strength, and glory. I'm okay with any of those. But that's what you see in his face to make those. And the different things. There's both. There's power behind what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did over here. Now it is interesting. Hod, right, and Tiferes are two of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while Hodr and Oz are not. What that means and how that translates, I'm not sure exactly. But Havu Hashem Yishkof Gamin. Now here's the word Havu. Hav is to give. Like ahava, the definition of ahava, of true, pure love, is to be given to someone else and not just be a taker. The definition of a pure marriage is when you keep giving. And that's what pure ahava is. Right? Havu Hashem Mishpachos Zamin. All the families of the nations of the world should attribute back, give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Havu Hashem Kavod Va'oz. Give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all honor and strength and assume that He is the one that made everything happen over here. Interesting. The word Havu is a gematria of 13 altogether, referring to a son's age, obviously, when he's chayiv and mitzvos. That's what it is. Havu is that's when he has to start giving back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he has to start doing it. Havu Hashem Kavod Shmo. Give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu honor that is due for His name. Lift up a gift and bring it over to His chatzar. Bring something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the base of mitzvah for Him to have. Hishtakol Hashem Ahadras Kodesh. Bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His place of holiness. The whole land should shake and tremble before Him. We learn from over here how to daven. The Chadras Kodesh says the Gemara, don't read it as Bahadras Kodesh, the Chadras Kodesh. So we say it as if there's a fear, a palpable fear, to tremble in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you daven. And some people even learn from here that you should shake when you daven in fear and trepidation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the inyan of shaking and swaying during davening is to get rid of improper thoughts. And when you do such a thing, you get out all the other thoughts from your head and you're able to concentrate a little bit better. If that's the best way of doing it, Baruch Hashem, that's good. The idea of the Hadras Kodesh, of getting involved in the Kodesh, is really trembling in a way where you have actual fear. Can you fake it till you make it? Yeah. There are people who are able to do it. I remember there was a great story with the Tzanzerov. I don't remember who it was, but the Tzanzerov had very big shakings. Whenever he would daven, he davened like that, right? So a Purim Rav got up. Purim Rav was a guy who dressed up on Purim to act like the Rav himself. He got up and he davened with all the kinaches, all the nuances that the Rebbe did. He got up and he davened, and the Rebbe turned white, absolutely white. He was like totally embarrassed. He went up to him, the Purim Rav went up to him and said, Rebbe, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that I embarrassed you. I thought it was a joke. I'm so sorry. Rebbe said, I'm not upset about you. I'm upset that if you're able to fake it that well, and you look like what I'm doing, maybe I'm faking it also. That's an amazing line. He said, how do I know that I mean it when I'm doing it? So Bahadras Kodesh is really, it should be Bahadras Kodesh. It should be some type of trembling and everything like that. But it shouldn't be that way. There's a way of trembling and there's a way of trembling. And don't do it in the wrong way. That's the concept. Imu v'agoyim Hashem Aloch. Say among the people of the world, Hashem is the king. Atikon tevel baltimot. He set up the earth so that it will not falter. Yodin amin b'nei sharon. He judges the people in a straight way, a straight across way. It's an interesting word, Hashem Moloch. It's no longer a Moshe. Originally, I think the idea was that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Moshe B'chol Amim. But eventually, because we accepted His kingdom upon Himself, He became our Melech. And that's what it's going to be like, Lasid Levo, that it will be the Melech, Hashem Moloch. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Nimloch Le'olam Vo'ed. That He's going to be the pure Melech of the world. Yismuch Hashem is Gal Ha'aretz. Then, the heavens and everybody in the land will rejoice and be happy. Yiram Ayom Umlo'o. The sea and everything in it will roar toward a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You want to call that the living animals inside, you want to call that the waves that are going through, whatever it is, all of the animals, everything that's there, everything, even the trees are going to start singing for the idea behind it. Another idea over here is that we learn from over here, I don't know where it gets it over here from the trees, but he says Sagel Ha'aretz maybe. Sagel Ha'aretz says the barren trees are all going to bear fruit at that point. There's going to be something like that. Either way, in Pasuk Yibayz. I'm sorry? Oh, in the Chabad thing, yeah.
Yeah, says something about
trees in the plural. The primordial trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, should be reunited in the future era. Okay.
So, no. Same masculine feminine energy, so maybe that's why where it gets to.
All right. The arrows still die, your bow. My field will sing out loud and everything in it. Oz yiraninu kotiyar. Then they will sing all the trees of the forest. Everybody together, all the trees will get together. And I would assume that means through the waving of their leaves. So, I mean, listen, we have something called Sichas Dekalon. It is something that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was an expert in. He was able to talk to the trees or speak the language of the trees in Sukkah, Dabkof, Kassam, and Aleph. We have no idea what it is. And in fact, if I remember correctly, this is one where Rashi says, I don't know what this is. If I remember correctly, it was Sichas the Kolam that he says it about. I don't remember. It might have been one of the other ones. But there is something that the trees speak.
When like the wind comes in.
It's not the noise. Yeah, no, it's not the noise. It's some type of whatever it is. Wait, hold on. Trees do move on their own. They do. They do have the ability to move. No. Any tree. Any tree can move. Not only growth, no. They have the ability to sway on their own. It's their way. The same way that they learned this when they built all these huge towers. You know, they all have the whatever, they go around.
Yeah.
No, it's not from the wind. They sway into the wind. They know how to lean into wind, so to speak. When they know something's coming some way in which they're going to be broken, they learn from trees how to do it. They have enough room, just enough room in the ground where they're able to, so to speak, like move a little bit. There are unbelievable things that trees have the ability to do.
The tree itself, it's
indiscernible. I don't know if the human eye can see it, but they say that it does move and it does have the ability to have something. I don't know if that's what this is referring to, though. I don't know. This is referring to the leaves and those branches and stuff like that. I don't know if that's what it's referring to. There's something like that regarding this. But either way, regardless, as you're running across, they are all the trees of the forest of the sea of the forest will start singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe in that way that their leaves somehow give their whatever. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they come to judge the land. Yishbo table betzedek v'amim b'munaso. He will judge the land in righteousness and the people in their amuna. Here's the sad part. My Rosh Shiva has a line in this. Everybody knows this line, but you know two versions of the line. Lifnei Hashem kiva, kiva lishpotar zishpotar v'tar v'amim b'munaso. Two mizmorim later, we say the line. Let's see if we can get it over here. Yishbot table lifnei Hashem kiva lishpotar yishbot table betzedek v'amim b'munaso. Here it says b'mei sharin. Over here it says the word b'amunaso. Here it says kiva kiva. Over here it just says one kiva. What's the difference? This is when Mashiach comes early. When Mashiach comes early, there is no Eliyahu HaNavi. That's when everybody is Meisharim. There's Yashrus. Possibly. But that's Yashrus. So then it's only Kiva. Mashiach is coming. And that's that. He comes in. Here is when he's coming because we have a Muna. He comes at the end of days because it has to be. At some point Mashiach is supposed to come. It's Amin Bamunas, so and we have that Muna. The Mashiach is coming and Kiva, Eliyahu, Kiva. Mashiach. That's what ends up happening. Eliyahu and then Mashiach comes to be able to judge the land and go through. Time we have. Let's see what we can do over here. Hashem Malach Tegela Aretz. Hashem reigns. The land will rejoice. Yismachu Yim Rabin. Many, many islands are going to rejoice and they're going to be happy when that happens. This is referring to the people all the way out in the middle of nowhere. The islands in the middle of nowhere. Well, now they're a lot closer than they used to be. Like a place like Bora Bora, right? Where you never knew where that was. You never knew what they wanted. Now they're going to be so close. Anan Barra Felsvivav. Around him, surrounding him, is a cloud and a darkness. Tzedekah mishpat nechon kiso. Righteousness and judgment are going to be his throne. That's what he's going to bring for everybody to make sure that everyone knows what's going to be in the new world of his. Eish lefan tzeleik. There will be a fire that goes up before him. This is all miraculous things. These are not natural things. The clouds, the darkness, the fire that goes out. Uslahit saviv tzarav. It destroys all of the enemies surrounding those that do not have that belief. And even after he comes through, will be smitten by the fire that comes from Hashem's mouth.
You said that these islands are closer now and everything. Do you think it's possible that the threat of Christianity, let's say, for example, into almost a very large percentage of the world is in a sense spreading Hashem because they're all pagan, they're all worshiping various gods and tribal gods,
and now all of a sudden
they worship Hashem.
We consider Christianity to be a Bodhisattva, halakhically speaking. There might be like little forms of Christianity that I don't know the major differences, but the major forms, Christians, Protestants, all Syrian, Greeks, etc., any form of Christianity that is
Protestants don't do that. No, Catholics have a lot more dogma.
They still believe in Jesus being a God. There are sects of Christianity that don't.
Protestants.
Those that don't will be Jesus. Yeah, I don't agree.
God or
or is a
God? God. Yeah. Even. They.
Well, you have that theory that for a non-Jew it doesn't fall into the shoulders of the Nilah, but that's
the
Shidu.
The question is, yeah, but the problem with that theory, the problem with that Ramah, and the problem with the Tosos is that you have, everybody remember getting into a fight with Marvin Gold about this. You know, Marvin.
Yeah.
Marvin was screaming about this. They're all, the problem is they were all not edited, censored. Every single one of them was censored.
The Meiri was censored?
The Tosos, the Meiri, and the Ramah. All three of them were censored. He showed them all three to me, and he went crazy. He was like, everyone possibly has the voters are. Everyone.
No, but...
And I was like, yeah, certain parts of Christianity. He said, all Christianity. He was going crazy.
No, but
any type of Shizu. We hold the Halapa.
I understand it, but we hold the Halapa. Because think about where they lived in those days. You had to hold that. And I think us nowadays, living in America, you also hold the same way.
Why? That they're not, that they're
just because
okay
all the halachas that involve somebody who's over the border, somebody who's not over.
I remember you asking me this when you needed to go into a church somewhere. I don't remember where it was. It was a church that you were visiting. It wasn't in South America. It was somewhere else. And you would ask me, am I allowed to go into the church? And I asked Rabbi first about that. He told me the same thing. And I asked about Jesus, Osir. Absolutely.
No, but I thought going into church.
The other problem was Machu Picchu, because there's a temple up on top or something like that, and there was no question it was a border zara. Right, I forgot what it was.
I'm not talking about walking into churches. There are halachas that talk about, you know, how you can deal on a day-to-day basis with...
Oh, you're asking about like maso matan and stuff like that. Okay, hold on. Yes, there are individual laws you can get around. But the kasha is, this Christianity or Avodah Zarah?
What's the nafkamina,
right?
Avodah Zarah or not? What's the nafkamina?
Well, one big nafkamina is going to the churches where
right,
they pray.
You said that it's only Avodah Zarah for Jews and not for non-Jews.
No. Nafkamina. Shituk is 100...
No,
it is usher by non-Jews.
No, I'm saying... No, but I'm saying that there's no nafkamina. As far as you're concerned, meaning it, even if you hold that it's not by a non-Jew, you still can't go in there because for you it is. There's no nafkamina.
No. Hold on. I can go into an Islamic faith, whatever.
I'm not talking about going into churches.
Yeah.
I'm saying that even if you were to hold that Shidduch is not a problem for them, but it is a problem for us, it doesn't change whether or not you can go into a church.
If it's not a problem for them, then it's not a Avodah Zarah for us. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, it's a Avodah Zarah if I worship it, but it wouldn't be a house of idol worship. And if it's not a house of idol worship, I would be able to go in.
Okay, fine, but if I'm going to church, I'm talking about the day-to-day stuff that talks about
Matzah. Issue. That's Tosos on Beis HaMa'alef and Avodah Zarah. That's a major issue. That Sundays and the 3 days before and the 3 days afterwards, right? Yeah, that's Tosos on Beis HaMa'alef and Avodah Zarah, as well as the Ritzah. It's a long Tosos. I remember four answers there. There's four answers to what we do on Sundays, but that was a major issue. That's referring to Christianity. That's for sure referring to Christianity.
Well, right. So what's the one answer there, sir?
I don't remember. I really have not gone into this in years. I'm telling you, the last time I went into this was with Mark.
Because I remember this was a while ago. I remember learning this, and I remember seeing the Meiri versus the Rambam, and it made sense to me because the Rambam lived in a Muslim country, so he could be a little bit more. I mean, the Meiri had to take into account like what's going on in his own
right, but
in his own place.
Yes, but that doesn't make a heter for Avodah Zarah.
It doesn't make a heter, but look, the perspective through which they're looking at it, and the need to be made.
The problem, you'd have to be more machmir.
No.
That is, I mean, if you lived in India, would you do the same thing?
I'm not opposed. A post has to take into account
where you are and what they're going to be able to do.
The theory had to look and be like,
I don't think
you need to do business with that guy.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the reason. And if you knock out that idea by saying it's not
Shidduch, the way he looks at it,
it'd be hard to say. Plus, it wouldn't matter, right? Because the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Shidduch is usher.
Right.
It's only the Ramah that would matter if that wasn't whatever. Yeah, so it wouldn't matter. So the Shulchan Aruch would have usher it anyway.
He's based on the Ramah.
Yeah, but even so.
No, I'm just saying, looking at it, a posting nowadays has to take into account. If you ask a child, you might give an answer, then you give him that case. If he needs to know where you're coming from, what you're, you know.
I don't believe that's the answer regarding Avodah Zarah. Regarding Avodah Zarah, it's pretty much the same all along the board. I'm not so sure that's any different. Not regarding a person and going into something, that might be different. There are heterim for when you need it for whatever reason, like a AA meeting or whatever it is. That's the famous for Moshe.
You going to
but I don't think that
church
matters. Yeah.
What if you're pulling things in the church?
Yeah, those are issues also.
But it's not in the church.
Yeah, the basements are usually okay. I forgot what it is. There's something to it. You know, I don't have anything. I don't have the information. I mean, I don't know if we're going to be able to finish this 15. All right, we'll start from Sadi Zion next time. Let's start with Sadi Zion at the beginning of next time. Okay, we'll do this. Because there's some really good stuff at the very